Church, say amen. It's one of those worship sets where we're just like, we really don't want to end. I just love worshiping with you guys, man. I look out sometimes when I'm sitting back here or if I'm out there or whatever, and I'm just absolutely amazed, completely amazed at what God is doing in the lives of some, in the lives of many. And I just pray I pray it all the time. Of course, first of all, I love you guys. Have I told y'all that lately? I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Don't start that, Xavier. I'll be all teary-eyed, man. I love you too, buddy. I do, man. I thank God for you every day. I pray for you every day by name, by name. I just love just walking through that list and just in the mornings and just you get to the end and you just go, I'm so grateful. Y'all, I even pray for the people who've come and gone. There have been a lot of people who've come and left and gone other places, moved away. Some got mad and didn't like us anymore. That's all right, too, because we're not for everybody. But and a little of me goes a long way. Amen, church? Come on, y'all. That's good. No, but for real, I still pray for them. If you're a guest with us, maybe it's your first time. Father, can we welcome our first-time guests? Good morning to you. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Hey, can we welcome our online church as well? Come on, we love you. Give them some good. We love you guys. But even if you're a guest with us and you do a connection card, if you'll fill out a connection card in front of you, I'll put you on my prayer list. I pray every day for all of our guests who've ever come. I've got a long list of guests. Some people who just come through here. We had a couple of families just not too many weeks ago that just came through traveling to the north. They were going, I think, to Indiana or somewhere, and they just were on 65, and they looked up non-denominational churches in Athens, Alabama, and looked at our website and said, hey, let's go to that church today. It was two families, and just pray for them every day. It's fun to pray for people. I hope you pray for me every day. I know you do. I know you do. And I need you to. I need you to. There is nothing more that you need and I need in this world than the presence of God. Amen. There's absolutely nothing you can put in the place of that at all. And we try it all the time, don't we? Can I start with asking you a question today? And then I was going to ask this question. So just a little bit ago, we were praying up here with our worship team, getting ready for worship today. And this word came on my heart, and it's the word expectant. Expectant. Amen. Are you expectant? Amen. I mean, do you pray to God with your hands this way, or do you just pray with, and by the way, the hands doesn't matter, it's the heart. Is your heart open to say, okay, God, I'm praying, I'm expectant. Amen. Expectant. And there are days when I'm expectant and I don't really know what to do with it, so I tend to get a little nervous about, okay, what's God going to do today? Or is he going to do anything today? Excuse me. But here's what I do believe, and based upon the story I'm going to read today and based upon the Word of God and in my own life, God wants us to be expectant. Sorry. God wants that. He wants open hands and open hearts. And he's just waiting on you to come to him in that expectant heart. It's a lot like you're waiting on your children. Maybe you have a child that's wayward and you wish they would come back to the Lord. They're not back yet. And every day you pray with open hands to God. God, I'm expectant. And I'm just waiting. And I'm just waiting. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Maybe it's a job you're waiting on. Just keep your hands open. Maybe it's like me. You're waiting on what's next for your health and what's going to go next. I don't know yet for sure. And some of the things that they're saying that I may have to walk through, I just don't even want to do. I really don't. But God will walk with me through it. And Liz and my family and all this, we'll get through it together. But you have to be expectant. Expectant. Let me ask you this. Are you expectant of your spouse at all? Sure you are. God bless you, brother. Thank you. And if... If you are, sometimes you get a little disappointed, don't you? Because they're human too. And here's the deal. She can't meet all the needs that I have. Amen. If she could, I wouldn't need Jesus. If she could, I wouldn't need the Lord. But there are some needs, aren't there? And she feels the same toward me. And God put us together to help meet those needs. But it's an expectancy. Our church knows about expectancy, right? How many mamas we got expecting right now? Be careful which water you drink around here. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. That's not the water, okay? I'm just going to say that's not the water. Unless the Lord's going to do another Abrahamic miracle. And Liz is like, that ain't happening. No. But here's the thing, we have to be expectant. And I don't think Rahab was expecting anything much in her life except to continue being a prostitute. And everything turned. And for those of you who don't know the story I'm about to read, you're going, he's going to talk about prostitutes today? No, just one. Just one. Her name is I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Praise the Lord. That's right. I'll get there. But I love the fact that when I read this story, that God uses not only ordinary people, but ordinary messed up people. And if you quickly go into judgment to Rahab saying, yeah, she was messed up, but don't even finish that sentence, because you're messed up too. And we all need God to use us. And listen, part of our whole thing as we live expecting God to work in our life is we walk through what we call impact here. And we get through step three, we get on a team, and we're expecting to God to use us in some way and some purpose. And even beyond that, even beyond what we do here in this building and that kind of thing, is what we do out there, right? Is the promptings you feel to pray over somebody or talk to somebody and say, hey, I expect God to use me every day. And I look forward to that. And he wants us to help him carry out his plan. In fact, I will tell you this, church, that the church is God's plan A to carry out his message to the world. And there is no plan B. Either we do it or it doesn't get done. And so he's using people like Rahab to encourage us to understand that we are here to carry out his redemptive plan. For those of you who are guests and for everyone who hasn't heard, we're doing a series called God's Plan for Redemption. Everybody say redemption. Redemption. We talked about that the very first message 2 weeks ago, so go back and grab that message if you want to. Last week, we talked about the God saving his people out of Egyptian bondage, and today, we're going to talk about how God carried out that plan. And if you read the Old Testament, it'd make a great movie, wouldn't it? It'd make a really great movie. In fact, lots of movies have been made about it, but this is one of those stories. And so, the Israelites have wandered through the wilderness. They left Egypt. And they've wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. It could have taken them 2 weeks, but God took them another way because of their disobedience. And he's trying to get them the whole time to understand that he's God and they're not. That's the message kind of our lives and our Bibles. I have to understand that I'm not God and neither are you. He is. And he gets to dictate what happens in our life and how long we get to endure those things and how long we get to walk through those things. And for the Israelites, they walked for 40 years in the wilderness. In fact, they sent spies into the land, 10 of them, and 8 of them came back and said, there's no way we can go take that land because it's just too much for us. 2 of them came back, Joshua and Caleb, and said, we got this. It doesn't matter how big they are. Our God's bigger than that. And they were all positive. And they were the only 2 of the original Israelites to actually get to go into the land. I'm going to tell you about this story. The first conquer they do today. And so they're about to cross the Jordan River. If you guys know your geography at all, they were on the east side of the Jordan River, and they're waiting to cross over. And so Joshua decides, here's what the word says. And by the way, we're going to read a lot of scripture today. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 2, and it's all going to be on screen. It's not in your notes because it just didn't have that much paper to put it on. So if you want to open your Bibles, you can, or you can follow on screen. But I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and here's the story. Joshua secretly sent out 2 spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. Secretly did it. I wonder why. I read one commentary that said he probably did it secretly because the last time he sent out spies, he didn't get such a good return for what he sent out. So he's going to send out these spies, 2 of them. And he instructed them to scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. And he knew that that's what they were about to conquer. It was the first city. If you look at your geography, as you cross the river, it's one of the first, it's the first major city they came to conquer the land of Canaan. And this is a side note. Okay, this is not the sermon, but a side note just for your learning is that God gave them the promised land, but they had to go take it. Maybe that's not a side note, because Rahab had to do something to get where she was. And we'll talk about that at the end of our story in a little bit. But, yeah, they had to go and conquer the land. It wasn't like God was just going to say, okay, here it is. Y'all go live. If you think for a minute God's going to make your Christian life easy, you're in the wrong look. You're looking at the wrong Christianity. And anybody who preaches to you that if you'll come to Jesus, everything's going to be all right and you'll never have any problems, they're lying to you. Or they're uninformed. They may not be lying, but they're uninformed. There was a time in my walk that I thought if I just gave it all to Jesus, then he would give me anything that I wanted and needed. The Bible says if you ask anything in his name, he'll give it to you, right? Well, it does, but there's some relationship stuff that's got to happen, and there's some understanding about who God is and who is not God. And so he sends them in. They have to conquer the land, and the first place they're going to get is Jericho. And he says, so the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. We could talk all day about why did they go to the house of a prostitute. The Bible doesn't clearly say. They could have been looking for a prostitute. They could have actually thought, well, if I go to a prostitute's house, I'm going to be able to claim my anonymity. I'm not going to. It's likely nobody's going to ask for an ID in the house of a prostitute. And they wanted to be there. They're spies, so they're kind of keeping everything on the down low, and where better to go to keep things down the down low than a hooker's house. And so they go, and now that's putting in our, as soon as I say hooker, somebody laughed. I don't know why. We went from prostitute to hooker, okay? What if I said whore? Is that going to be better? Hooker's good. He said hooker's good. It's so funny how that we get outside this building and the words that we use and the things that we say just become so loose, man. And we come in here and I say them and it's like, oh, no, did he say hooker in church? He said hooker in church. Yes, he did. And so they get to her house and we really don't know why, but we're going to go with the anonymity part of that, okay? We're going to go with that. But someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land. And Rahab had hidden the two men, and she replied, yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. Lie number one. They left the town at dusk, and the gates were about to close. Lie number two. I don't know where they went. Lie number three. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. Lie number four. Scripture says, actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath the bundles of flax she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. And, excuse me, and as soon as the king's men had left, the gate of Jericho was shut. Which means their exit route was gone. You couldn't just walk through the gates. And so, before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went to the roof to talk to them. She said, and this is one of the first statements we get, that she's got some kind of belief. We don't know how deep it was. I think it was based on fear. We'll see that as we go through. But she says, I know the Lord is giving this land, she told them. We're all afraid of you, she said it. I'm afraid. Everybody is. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we've heard how the Lord made the dry path for you to go through the Red Sea. That's part of the Exodus we didn't cover last week, where God opened the sea up and Moses and they all walked through and on dry ground. And in the great one of the great stories. And by the way, this story becomes the theme story of Israel. And then he says, and she said, and we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. We've heard the stories. We've heard the stories. I could preach all day on. Has anybody heard the story about Discovery Church? Has he heard the story about your life? Men of the church, has he heard about how strong your faith is and how many things you've destroyed in your life in the name of Jesus Christ to be able to lead your family where they need to go? Man, what a sermon that would be. Not for today, but a great lesson. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. They're not even going to give it a shot. We're not doing anything. We have no way to beat you guys. And I love this statement. I put this in highlights. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now, you would love to think that Rahab has just had this great conversion, and she could have. I don't know. The Bible doesn't indicate when she came to full faith that God was who he said he was. But still, it could be some fear still mixed in with that. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with a little healthy fear of a God who can kill your soul in hell if you don't follow him. Amen. Nothing wrong with that at all. And so, if you're motivated out of fear, please don't stay there, but it's okay. Because he is a very powerful God and a jealous God. I told you about the girl in the hospital who asked me, is your God a narcissist? If you don't know who he is, he can seem that way. Because the Bible says he wants all your heart, not just a little tiny bit of it here and there, or a smattering of it on Sunday, and the rest of the week you live for the other guy. He wants it all. And she says, the Lord your God is the supreme God of heavens above and all the earth below. That sounds a little bit like the confession that the Bible says all people will confess one day. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. It's coming. You can do it now. You can do it later. And she does it here. She says, now, let's make a deal. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be so kind to me and my family, or you'll be kind to me and my family, since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother and brothers and sisters and all the families. They said, we offer you our own lives as a guarantee for your safety, the men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us this land. They don't even know the plan at this point. There's another sermon. You might not even know the plan, but you just follow what God is. God said move, you move. How many times have we found ourselves in a place where we don't even know what step to take next, but we just know we're going to take it in faith? Whatever happens. That is part of the lesson. I'll get there when we get there. But here's the deal. She's made a deal with them, and they've made a deal back. And verse 15 says, then since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, she let them down through a rope, by a rope through the window. You remember the gate was shut. They couldn't go that way. So she lets them down the wall. And by the way, there's some great archaeological stuff about the wall of Jericho. You can go look. It's fascinating the way this wall was built. Fascinating. I suggest you go look that up. I don't have time today. So she lets them down out of the window but with a rope. Escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you. Then, when they have returned, you can go on your way. And before they left, the men told her. It's so funny. It's like, we made this deal. The word's been said, but they want just a little make sure, all right? All right? So we will be bound by the oath that we have taken only if you follow these instructions. When we come into the land, you must leave a scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. And all of your family members, your father, your mother, your brothers, and all of your relatives must be here inside this house. How many of you thought at that moment, man, she must have had a big house or a small family? I don't know which one. But they got to be in the house. That's the deal. If they go out in the street or killed, won't be our fault. That's suggesting what kind of destruction is about to take place in this place. But if anyone lays a hand on the people inside this house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we're not bound by this oath in any way. I accept your terms, she replied, and she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. The spies went up into the hill country, stayed there for 3 days, and the men who were chasing them searched everywhere along the road. They finally returned without success. Then the two spies came down from the hill country, crossed the Jordan River, and they're going back to the east side where everybody's waiting on them to see what they found out, and reported to Joshua all that had happened to them. And I love their reply. There was no doubt. The Lord has given. What? I mean, it's a done deal, they said. The Lord has given us the whole land, they said, for all the people in the land are terrified of us. Man, if you could just ever walk that road. Can I ask you a question? Do you ever get with the enemy? Like, you know who our enemy is. By the way, your spouse is not your enemy. Your friends are not your enemy. The church is not your enemy. I'm not your enemy. Even though I say some stuff, sometimes you go, what? Did he really challenge me that hard? Well, I'm not your enemy. We have a common enemy. His name is Satan. And he doesn't care about you. He's always a liar. He never plays Russian roulette without the gun being completely loaded. You will die if you fight him by yourself. You cannot walk it without him. And Joshua, and I mean these spies say to Joshua, the battle's already won. All we have to do is go and to take it. But how many of you sit in your prayer life sometimes like me? And you go, really, God, are you with me? Really, God, is this going to happen? Exactly like I want it to happen. It's the crux of faith, isn't it? When I went through this message this morning, it really bothered me kind of how I was going to be able to present that. But I think that's probably one of the things that God wants us to know today is that we can trust him. Even if he don't do exactly like we want him to do. And that's easy to proclaim here. It's easy to proclaim in this room. It's easy to stand on this stage and say that. And in my walk right now, every day I get reminded by the enemy things in my life that I don't want to talk about. But the same God that had given them this land is the same God that has given me eternal life. Period. And if God, listen to me good. Are y'all listening? This is one of those non, look down at your phone, look up. If God only chooses to give me my eternal redemption in Christ, that's plenty. The fact that I feel great today and I'm hungry, I want to eat some lunch, and I doubt the turkey sandwich I bought from the Soul on Fire group is going to be enough. And you say, well, that's crazy. You're always hungry. Not for a long time I wasn't. From July to the end of October 15th or somewhere around in that neighborhood, I was sick. My point is this, why can't we just proclaim in the moment that my knees aren't hurting, that my stomach's okay, the cancer's not killing me today, that whatever it is in your life, if you're worried about something in this life, you're either going to have to give it to God or hold on to it to yourself. And when you give it to God and you give it to him and let it go, you ought to write a song called Let It Go. Oh, wait a minute. They did. You got to release it to him. And it's, this is the battle. It's the battle. It was her faith that put her where she was. Mike and I were talking about it early this morning. It just occurred to me that she had a couple of choices. She could have gone back and said, well, I'm not doing this. These guys are idiots. Here they are. They're on the roof. Go get them. And they'd have died, and she'd have been a Jerichoite, and she'd have died in Jericho if she put her faith in the wrong place. But Rahab's faith, point number one today, saved her and her entire family. We actually learn later on that Rahab actually traveled with the Israelites after this story. And I'm sure she probably had some moments where, I don't know, do I trust these guys or do I not trust these guys? And I think she'd seen enough of the gods that she'd already had probably that she's like, I don't want any more of this. Their God can't be any worse than these gods and these people. Scripture says, so Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute. And by the way, every time Rahab's mentioned in the Bible, she's called Rahab the prostitute. I mean, I feel like one day when we get to heaven and we talk to Rahab, she's probably going to say something like this, Caleb. I wish they'd drop the title. I mean, come on, man. I gave the spies over, but she's known that way all the time. Spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were in her house because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Her faith started in fear, but it's my belief and trust that as she followed with God and watched what happened with these Israelites, and they took the promised land, and I'm sure she became much more of a follower of Jehovah God. Else she wouldn't have been mentioned so many times, I don't think, in the New Testament. That's my opinion, okay? If your faith starts in fear, it will lead to a life of faith and confidence if you will allow it to do it. I could present to you a gospel that's not true and say that that's easy. It's just not. I've had people ask me, why would you believe in a God and then fill in the blank with some bad thing that happened to somebody or them or me or whatever? The alternative. There is no alternative. In my prayers, most mornings, I say to God, God, your word, your name is to be hallowed and holy. And at some point, I tell him, there's no way I can do this without you. If you don't go with me, I'm not going. That's what Moses said. Was it Moses that said that? It's not in my notes. It's not in my happy record. Was it Moses, Russ? Is that right? It's Moses or Abraham. One of them big guys. I said, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. And how many people every day live their life without him? I don't know how they get through stuff. I just don't know how they do it. Don't know how they do it. Number two, Rahab's faith became her identity. I love the fact that she's named Rahab the prostitute, but that's not who she was. That was not her identity. People are going to always call you things that are not your identity. And by the way, our culture is in a complete identity crisis. But thanks be to God, there's a lot more sensible talk going on in the world today. I don't know why, but it's just like people on TV. I saw a thing on TV the other day that's talking about how strong prayer was and how powerful prayer was. I don't know what's happening, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. James says this about her. Rahab the prostitute is another example. There it is again. She was shown to be right with God by her actions. Ooh, different word thrown in here. When she hid those messengers and sent them safely by their way a different road, just as the body is dead without breath, so faith is dead without good works. What I'm going to end today with is a little bit different than probably what you've heard flavored from me up here, okay? And I don't know, I honestly don't know where this is going to land. I wish I could tell you. I know what my notes say, but I don't know where it's going to land. I hope it lands in my heart and your heart. Because here's the thing. Faith is not just words, it's action. Faith isn't just mouthing Christianity. Faith isn't just saying, well, I go to church. I'll guarantee you, I'll challenge you this week. Ask 10 people. Ask them this question. Hey, how's your walk with Jesus? And if I were a gambling man, I'd bet my paycheck that 8 out of 10 of them will say, well, I go to church. Or, I don't really go to church, man. I don't know. I don't. It's not what I ask you. Didn't ask if you go to church. I mean, the devil goes to church. And being in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a car, being in a garage making you a car, or being in a flower bed makes you a flower. Man, I could go everywhere with that. Because we got some crazy, whacked out notions in our world about who people are. Come on, y'all. Let's just tell the truth. James says it this way in James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. That's another translation. I'll show you my faith by my works. And you can brag about having faith all day long, but if it's not followed by some kind of action, husbands, if you say you have faith and you believe in Christ, but you go home and you're a hellion at home and you watch things you shouldn't watch and listen to what you shouldn't listen to, scream at your wife and your kids and treat them like crap, that ain't faith. I'm not asking you for it to be perfect. I'm asking you to think about how you act while you speak about Jesus. You know, the only place in the Bible where God gets sick at his stomach, it's not at gay people. It's not at people of color of any kind. It's not at people who sinned in a certain way. It's not that. You know who he got mad at? The only time in the Bible that I know of where God pukes is Christians who say they are something, but they're not. The Greeks called it hypokritoi, hypocrites. And they were literally actors. And in Greek acting, they would be the same person. They'd come out with a different mask and a different voice, and they would do that part. And they'd run off stage and grab another mask and come out and do that part. Chameleon Christians, they just looked like it whenever it was convenient for them. Come on, y'all. Christianity is not convenient. And if it is convenient for us, then we're making it too simple, too easy. If you're not challenging yourself or other people, then it's very difficult for me to understand how you are walking with Jesus. And sometimes, in the name of love, we treat people certain ways and we say, oh, that's just okay, that's fine. It's not okay, and it's not fine. In fact, if you leave me in my sin and you don't challenge me out of my sin, then you are, in essence, allowing me to be lost. It'd be like watching an 8-year-old drowning in water, and you've got a lifesaver or a way to go get them, and you just go, well, ain't nothing I can do today. He'll be all right. Yo, we got to get back in the rescuing mode. We got to get back in this idea. This could not have been easy for Rahab to do this. She's given up everything she's ever known to follow with a group of people that she doesn't have a clue what to do, really. All she's doing is saying, I just know this God of yours is powerful, and I'm scared to death of him, and I want to follow him. I want to be on his side. And her actions moved. There are things that we stand for. There are things that we stand against. There is a responsibility. Man, it's quiet in here today. This kind of hard preaching, isn't it? And it's kind of like, are you saying that if I have faith in Christ, then I have to act like Christ? Yes. And many of I have been seeking out Holy Spirit and studying the gifts of the Spirit and learning more about the gifts of the Spirit and accepting and reading Scripture and changing my mind about some things and all those things. But listen, I want y'all to understand something really clear. The gifts of the Spirit are not as important as the fruit of the Spirit. You can speak in tongues until the cows come home, as they say in the South. But if you do not have love, Paul said, if you don't have love, you have nothing. You are a clanging cymbal. Now, that's a dead cymbal because it's not plugged in right now. Now, I like clanging cymbals, but I want them in rhythm, and I want them at a time. Do y'all ever feel something when I do a cymbal swell, like, shh? It almost sounds like the wind, doesn't it? God is asking, listen, we can be all kinds of cool things in the church, and we got some great cool things in the church, and we get to do a lot of really wonderful, massive, awesome, great things. But if we put groceries in a car and we don't treat people kindly while we're doing it, it's for nothing. Our faith has to have action. Be gentle with people, love people, be kind to people, but tell people the truth. You kind all day long, but if we're not speaking the truth, then we're making people a bunch of nice little people that have no salvation in their life. They're just walking in the world being nice little people. It's good to be nice, and I hope you're nice, and I hope you're kind. I hope you're kinder than you are not kind. but also help you stand and take some action for the truth. When you're at work and the conversation comes up about Jesus, stand firm for him and love people in him and let people know how much you care about him and say, hey, he's my Lord and he's my Savior. Don't you love it when you ask somebody, hey, do you know who Jesus is? And they go, yeah, he's my Savior and my Lord. And they're confident about it, and you know they already know. That's so much fun. And you get to go, hey, me too. We get giddy about stuff that don't matter, but we don't ever get giddy about Jesus, man. We got to get, I say ever, y'all do. Some of y'all get way over giddy, all right? I'll just say that. Some of y'all are over the top giddy. And it's okay. Be excited. Be excited. And then faith has to show itself fruitful. This is really kind of where I was, and kind of already went there, but I'm going to go back. The Bible says it was by faith that Rahab the prostitute, bless her heart, was there again, was not destroyed, but the people in her city who refused to obey God. For she, by the way, there's Jericho's problem. Jericho wasn't a problem because it just had a bunch of bad people in it. Jericho was a problem because they didn't serve God, the God. For she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And you're walking a faith journey right now. Here's the challenge at the end of the message today. Prayer team, if you want to take your place, you can. I've got a little exercise I want you to do today. It's not jumping jacks. It's not push-ups. I couldn't do any of that. Well, I could do jumping jacks, but not many push-ups right now. But if you have a place to write something down, it may be in your phone. You got a notes, little notes app, or pages, or some kind of Android thing you can write something in. I don't know about Android stuff, so I don't know. But you got a way to write down a statement. I need you to write down a statement for me. Because listen to what it said about Rahab before you write, while you're preparing. It said about Rahab, it was by faith that Rahab did. And what she did cost her something. Faith will always cost you, but the dividends are incredible. What the devil gives you will always cost you. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. But with God, I said the fruit of the Spirit while I go, isn't it cool at the end of the list of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think I got them all. If I didn't, you guys can correct me later. But it's a great list. And it said, against which there is no law. How all you want of it. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet of anything you want. You can have all of it. Love, joy, peace, and patience. That peace part, man, I want some of that. And he says, if I will trust him, and through the Spirit gets in my heart, that's there. So it says, by faith, Rahab did something. I want you to write in your note, by faith, comma, and then put your name. By faith, I can name a bunch of names that preachers do sometimes. It makes people nervous. I won't do that. You put your name, write your name. And you can probably already know, you might can go ahead and fill this out now, but you might can wait till later when you can really think about it. It's okay to do that. By faith, Keith preached in the midst of difficulty, knowing that God was real and that the Lord's presence was sufficient for his peace. That's what I want my story to be. God wrote another book of Hebrews, and there was another chapter 11 in it, and he looked at your life, what would he put after that? By faith, Keith, and your name, and you fill out the rest of it. And think of a moment in your life where you stepped out in faith and did something that was uncomfortable, that was often sometimes felt a little bit scary. Because if you look at that list in Hebrews 11, it's just human people who made a step for God. Faith. It's kind of like the song we're going to sing again. Lord, I come. Here I am. Please remember in all of this story that it is only God who redeemed his people. He used Rahab to get that done. He used the spies to get that done. He used Joshua to get that done. When I say used, I'm not talking about used like our culture talks. You just used me. No, no, no. They got to be who they were. They didn't have to. They got to be there. What's so cool is I might could write your story for you. I could say by faith, Michelle. By faith, John and Raquel. By faith, Steve and Debbie. I already know enough about so many of you that I could just go by faith and I could fill in the blank for you. Here's where you walked when you were scared, when you didn't know what was going to happen, but you trusted. And can I say to you, for those of you who have walked that road, you really encourage me. Can I say to you that when I read the story of Rahab in the Bible, I don't think of her any more than I think of you. Watch the faith road that you've walked. This is not your story. It's his story. It's his story. And he wants to write you in his book. In fact, your name is already there. I'm just trying to get you to do an exercise that I've never asked anybody to do. What is it you see in your life? Now, here's the problem with me doing this. And I'll hush, okay? I'm already a little over time, but that's okay. Listen. If you say, well, I don't have anything to write in this blank. I don't know that anything I've ever done has stepped out on faith. I don't understand that. And today could be your first step toward that. You see these people standing here, we talk about them all the time. Usually we're standing up when they are and you don't get to see them. They're not here to be seen. They're here to be a blessing. Some of you need to take a step today where you just take that step. So you know what? For the first time in my life, I'm going to ask somebody to pray about whatever that situation is. For the first time in my life, I'm going to step out in faith and go talk to somebody and say, hey, it's called vulnerability. Our small group is going to talk about it Tuesday night. Open your heart. Open your life up to somebody. Because the truth is, God says when you confess, when you say it with your mouth, you get healing from that. I want you to be healed. Don't you want to be healed today? Of whatever it is. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith along with me. You all please stand. We're going to sing this song. Lord, I need you. Please. If you have to leave right now, it's okay to, but I'm going to ask you if you can just be a little patient. Just a little patient. I don't want anybody to be distracted from a moment. But yeah, we're going to turn the lights way down low. Nobody's watching you. The only reason we care to see you is because we're so excited for you to take a step of faith and ask somebody to pray for me. So, just feel free to step out at any time and go to any of our prayer team and pray as we worship together.
My one defense, my righteousness.
sing that again, that the devil wants you to stand right where you are when you know you need to move. Come out here and I'll pray with you, whatever. I just want to be with you. You're standing there wanting somebody to go with you. Grab a neighbor. Come on. Don't let any lie of the devil. I'd go if somebody go with you.
Come on.
They'll go with you. They will. Take a step.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
We sing the song, we really, really mean it, though, Lord. We can't take a step, not a breath, not a moment without you. God, you represent everything that is good. Not just represent it, but you embody it. You are all in all. You are the I Am, the El Shaddai Almighty. You're the healer, the great physician. One who brings peace, not only brings peace, but sent the Prince of Peace into this world so that I could have peace. I'm sorry, Lord. Sometimes I just struggle with it. But ultimately, I trust you, Father. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Bless every person in this room right now, Lord, who is just seeking you, seeking more, maybe just a little afraid. God, I pray you release fear. Take fear out of our lives, Lord. Enemy, you have no right in our lives. Devil, get out of our lives. Get out of our families. Get out of our marriages. Get out of our schools. Get out of our country. Get out of our church. Get out of every corner of every aspect of our lives. You are nothing. We can say that because Jesus is everything. And in Jesus' name, you have to move out. So, Father, this morning we pray in power. We pray, Father, in power because of the name of Jesus, because of Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and being in this room right now, for being in our lives, in our hearts, moving, motivating, touching lives. Thank you. We sense your presence. We know you are here. For those who are afraid, Spirit, come and let them know. Touch their hearts. Convict in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for the peace. peace of this moment. Guys, so much. I don't want to end with any loud hoopla today. Sometimes that's appropriate, but today I just sense that it would be really great just to be quiet. So good. Be still and know that I am God. Near. Father, we love you. We adore you. We seek you. Go with us, Lord, today. May the peace of Christ dwell in us richly. May the presence of Holy Spirit walk with us every step. And give us all that we need. In Jesus' name. I love you guys so much.